I hope you never tire of me asking you to bring your Bible, not your mobiles, your Bible to the meetings. Are you ashamed to carry your Bible to the meeting? Not the mobile. I know you have the Bible in your mobiles, but it's so good. I use the mobile sometimes outside if I'm walking and if I'm waiting somewhere for somebody. But when I come to church, and I hope in your home you keep your Bible, you read from your, because that's the way you can study God's Word. So are you ashamed to lift your Bible this morning? Not your mobile. Wonderful. I think I'm making some progress in reminding you. Nothing like the written word. And we thank God there were times when people, particularly in these closed countries, couldn't carry a Bible, couldn't bring a Bible into the country. And so we thank the Lord for the liberty we have in this country, that we can carry a Bible apart from having it in your mobile. But I hope the only way to study God's Word is to go to the written Word. I cannot tell you how much I've benefited. Particularly if you have a margin in your Bible, you can get so much from God's Word. And you can get to know the Bible much better than if you try to study it from your mobile. So I want to speak to you this morning about the glorious gospel of the grace of God. There are many getting baptized this morning, and I believe many of you have been baptized, whether a few months back or years back. And many of you perhaps will think of getting baptized if you really born again, you repented of your sins, and come in through the door, through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. You heard last week Brother Charles speak about repentance, and that is so sadly lacking today in Christendom. And you listen to today's preachers, some of them are excellent, teach God's Word, the truths of God's Word excellently. I've been blessed hearing some of them, but I've been sad when they tell people at the end of their message and when they pray to receive Jesus, to accept Jesus in their hearts. I'm sad. There are a few preachers, I was listening to one this morning, and interestingly spoke about what I'm sharing with you, and who preached the gospel of the grace of God. And the gospel of the grace of God doesn't call us to receive Jesus Christ into our hearts. The gospel of the grace of God doesn't call us to accept Him into our hearts, though that is what we do after we have repented, that we surrender our lives to Him. I thank the Lord that 56 years ago, I thank the Lord for the preacher that I listened to, who told the people he was preaching to repent. And I was so smitten in my conscience. I knew I was a sinner, a wicked sinner. And I it's so vivid in my memory. And I sat in that chair and I wept and I wept and wept, tears of repentance. And I cried out to the Lord and asked the Lord to forgive me, cleanse me from all my sin, and accept me. I didn't pray a prayer that I accept the Lord. I said, Lord, I surrender my life to you. A wicked sinner that I am, please forgive me my sin. Cleanse me in your blood. And that night, interestingly, this preacher who had a reputation of preaching to sometimes very philosophical, educated, intelligent people, graduates and all that, spoke a very simple gospel that night about of Jesus dying on the cross and what he went through and the price he paid for me. I thank God for him. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And I thank God for the young brother who spoke to me that night and visited me every week, put me in touch with a church that preached God's word. I still remember his name, Chandy Jacob. I don't know where he is. But a brother who was so faithful would travel all the way from Hyderabad and come to a suburb in Secunderabad. And I was on the railways. I really thank God for him with all my heart. He took the trouble to come and sit with me. We'd study the scriptures and he'd pray with me and made sure that I attended to the Brethren Church, and I thank the Lord for that Brethren Church because I got to know God's word there. There were godly men there. So I don't know how it is with you, my brothers and sisters, and whether you have gone along with that gospel, which is not the gospel, about accepting and receiving Jesus into your heart. I don't know about all of you who are being baptized this morning, whether you have just accepted Jesus Christ and whether you have received Jesus Christ and made to believe that now you're born again. I want to tell you, if that is how you came in, that's the way you want to get baptized, I want to say to you, even if you have to change your mind, get grounded. Because this is a most important time for you. If you have not repented and you just believed in receiving Jesus Christ in your heart, I want to tell you, you'll never grow. You'll live all your life on this earth under a deception that you're a follower of Jesus, that you're born again. You'll discover that it has not been so because things have not changed in your life since you repented and given your life to Christ. That says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, new things have come. That's how, you know, and that's how I knew right from day one. The Lord did such a radical work in me. Right from day one, I went back to my, I was a park controller on the railway set, and I went back, took me a lot of courage to say, no, I don't do those things. I will not join you in that. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And that's in that control office, everybody came to know there was a change. That's how it must be, my brothers and sisters. If your life has not begun to change radically or slowly, whatever it is, if Old things have not passed away and new things have not come. I want to tell you in Jesus' name, you are not born again. You say, oh, Brother Zach, but I read the Bible, I pray, I come to CFC. And whichever church you may go to, your life has not changed. You are not born again. You will not be able to say to me at the judgment seat of Christ, Brother Ian, 48 years you were in CFC, but you never told me this. Nobody, no one's blood is on my hands. People sitting here, people who have gone from here, I can testify to this, that no one's blood is on my hands. If I meet you and I speak to you, even for a little while, even a few words, those of you who come and talk with me know that. But that is the question I ask you. Are you born again? Have you repented of your sins? The next question I ask you, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? They go together. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It's because of the way Christianity has declined. We have it as two separate things. But on the day of Pentecost, they repent, Peter, and they said, what shall we do? What shall we do? Peter replied, repent. The first thing is, and be baptized. Not that your sins are washed away, but be baptized as a testimony that you have repented. And get baptized in water, which some of you are doing and many of you have done, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How did you receive repentance? It's a gift that God has forgiven you your sins and brought you into His family and brought you into the kingdom of God. How will you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The same simple way, making sure that there's no bitterness in your heart particularly. There's no unconfessed sin. No reason why you will not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You shall, Peter said, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. That is the gospel, my brothers and sisters. And Paul, you know, at the end of his life in Rome, and his the last years of his life in Acts chapter 20, I'd like you to turn there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. And if you have brought your Bible and your mobile, will you not look at your mobile, but look at the Bible. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. He says there, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and a ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. To testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And go back a little in verse 21. Verse 20. He says, verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. And here's this word again, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. The words he uses there, it's like an oath. I solemnly, like he's standing in a courtroom, I solemnly testify of the grace of God And he says, and what is the grace of God? It's repentance. Repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said that which this ministry which he received from the Lord. Paul was so gripped with the gospel, he was not ashamed. If you look at that in Romans, you know, it speaks so much there. In Romans in chapter 1, just go there for a bit. He says then verse 14, Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I want you to look at these verses as we go along. And not think, oh, no, I've heard this before. I want you to look at it in your Bibles and think about it. What a wonderful privilege we have. Paul says here, I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. I'm under obligation. That I'm under compulsion, he says, to the Greeks, the clever people, the intelligent, and to the barbarians, the ones who are illiterate, both to the wise, the clever people, the intelligent people, and to the foolish also. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. In verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why for the Jew first? Because he had the Bible. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. In verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. That's how we live our Christian life. It's by faith. And it says, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. We see the righteousness of God. We see the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And that is why the gospel is not just repentance, but faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say that to you. And the gospel is not just a ticket to heaven. You're entering into something wonderful and glorious that God wants to reveal to you Himself, that you can get to know God. You can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The glory of God. The gospel of the glory of God, it says. You know, I'm going to turn to that, but you can read that there. In the face of Jesus Christ. And it says there that like God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Lord separated the light from the darkness. The same God who did that right in the very beginning when He said, let there be light, is the same God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is what I'm talking about. Has shone in your hearts to give us the gospel, to give us the gospel of the glory of Christ. There's a glory in the gospel. And it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Nothing of self. It's by grace, not of works, not any good I can do. By faith, through grace, I am saved, brought into the kingdom of God. And I want to say, my brothers and sisters, just see, check your life, how it is. You know, I don't know what gospel you've heard, whether you've just heard about repentance towards God. and you think you can get into the kingdom of God. Brother, I repented. Okay, you repented. You repented of your sins. But then what? The gospel is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you go up there and you have this ticket and you tell whoever is there to let you into the kingdom of going to heaven, I repented, here's my ticket. And he looks behind and sees it blank. You say you repented. Is that all? Not even half the gospel. Because you repent, yes, you're sorry for your sins. You have a lot of people in other religions. And they got something behind, which is also fake. They go to the Ganges, they go here, the Muslim goes to Mecca, and they repent of their sins and whatever their religion has told them. And they think they can get it because everybody is going to be judged. And say that they did this and they did that. But it's not even half a ticket. And I hear the words, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. There are some, I would think, you know, many millions perhaps, many thousands, who listen to these preachers and say, put your faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to pray now, and while you pray, will you receive Christ into your heart? Will you accept Him into your heart? I thank God that was not the gospel I heard that first night. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, those of you who have been baptized, those who are getting baptized. I don't know what gospel you've heard, and is that the way you're coming in, and you're convinced you're born again. I say again, in Jesus' name, you are not born again. You got the other, you just have this, and you get up there, and you think you're going to get in. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be shocked, and all these preachers, we've led thousands of people in their glory in the countries they've been to, and the glory in the number of people they keep count of it who have come through their crusades and whatever, by getting people to just accept Jesus, to receive Jesus. And do you think that's enough? You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they ask you, show me your ticket. Oh, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But behind, blank. You also join the crowd who would go into a Christless eternity. I want to say that to you if you've never heard that before. But if you have come in the right way, with a full ticket, not being misled by all these preachers, and particularly in this day, there are so many of them. Like I said, even powerful teachings, good teachings, but what I look for, two things I look for, and I want to share this with you. I've done this, I've been blessed by some of the things they have shared, and but these are the two things I look for. One, is he asking for money? Or whatever it is to support the crusade and send money to India and send money to African countries and all that. Whatever it is. I don't know who it was who said, can't remember the name, you brothers may remember, that any preacher who asks you for money in his meetings for whatever it is, he's a false prophet. If he's asking for money, He is a false prophet. I can't remember who it is, but one of the old preachers. That if there's an offering bag passed around and he's asking for money, even if it's not for himself, he's a false prophet. Those are the ones who tell you to just believe in Jesus. Those are the ones who tell you just accept Jesus. Those are the ones who, when you're praying, say, receive Jesus in your heart. You think Jesus will come into your heart? Where there's sin that's not been confessed and repented of? Where you have not put things right with other people, with your wife, with your husband? And you go to church and you think you're a born-again Christian. My brothers, my sister, I weep when I see this happening, and I pray that we are not getting people into CFC who come in with these kind of tickets. Blank on the other side. But if you have come in the right way, you have repented of your sins, you have repented toward God, you put things right, and at the first opportunity you go and put things right with those you have sinned against. Because you have repented and asked God first, you put things right with God and ask God to forgive you. This is what I did. I tell you, my life just changed continually, and I can say there may have been times of backsliding, but I can say this before God, that that night I repented of my sins and received the Holy Spirit not long after. I didn't have to, even though I was going to a brethren church. I'm not going to tell you. Now I've said that, given you my testimony many times. But I lived in a continuing repentance from that day onwards. There were times of backsliding, but the Holy Spirit came after me and bring me back. And because I repented toward God, and I also had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how I came into God's kingdom. I repented of my sins, and all of you who are getting baptized today, I hope you have this ticket. I really hope and pray you have this. Otherwise, I say to you in Jesus' name, please delay your baptism. Delay your baptism. We've had people come back and say, I know many cases of sincere brothers and sisters. They were sincere also in the beginning, but they came in just because, I don't know what they believed, what gospel they heard, and they received Jesus Christ. No one brother particularly who stands out. And things were not right. And when I was speaking to him, I found that something was not right. And he said to me, brother, I don't think I was born again when I was baptized. We had many people like this. I don't think I was born again. I did not repent of my sins. And he went, he put things right with his wife, who was divorced 12 years. The change that brought it came about in his life. He's in the church, praise God. The change that came about in his life was so wonderful. After 12 years, God united them again. And this wonderful wife of his wept when we elders prayed together with them. And he says, brothers, I've been praying for this man for 12 years. I wept with them. Oh, how wonderful, what rejoicing there would have been in heaven. And we rejoice together with them. And I believe it's going well with them. Because they put things right and they had faith in Jesus Christ. God brought them back together. The wonderful things, my brothers and sisters, that God will do when we truly repent toward God, put things right in our life. The change begins from day one. That's how you know. And all of you who are getting baptized, that's how you know the change has begun. You have, whenever you repent, it may have been a month ago and years ago, but you know you repented, and from that date, not because you're getting baptized, the only thing that can happen today, I want to say it is that a little dust which is on your clothes gets left back in the water, not your sins. Little dust on your body is left back in the water. Your sins should have been left back at the cross. That is where you should have come first. I hope, I don't say this to condemn every you, but I have a burden on my heart that I'm afraid when I see what's happening in these TV preachers, when I see what the gospel, that good preachers preach, asking people to receive Jesus, asking people to believe in Him, and they have not repented. They don't tell them. I've not heard one, maybe one or two. And I know the man I was listening to this morning said that. In fact, I had no time to carry on listening to him. But he said, I'm not asking you, we're going to pray now, I'm not asking you to accept Jesus, I'm not asking you to receive Him. I'm asking you to repent. Very few like that, very few. And if you've listened to any of those few and have come to be baptized, you're fortunate. You can really thank and praise God for such ones. So I want to say to all of you, those who have been baptized here or some other church, check your foundation. And don't be ashamed to say, I need to be baptized again. Because what is baptism actually? You're testifying that you have repented of your sins. Whether last year, yesterday, 10 years ago, whatever it is, now you're convicted that I need to obey the Lord in the waters of baptism. That's why I want to be baptized. And all of you who are being baptized, I hope that will be your testimony. That you know you have repented of your sins, you repented toward God, and you placed your faith in Jesus. I guarantee you, that 56 years, I was born in a Christian family and whatever, and brought up in a Christian school and all that, but my life changed. And if there's no change in you, then you're not born again. Check it now, before you wake up in a shock with any of these kind of fake tickets, I would call them, to wanting to enter into the kingdom of God. Get a full ticket. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, then you can say, yes, I am born again. That is the gospel of the grace of God that Paul was so gripped with. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith is an important part. It's not just repentance and it's not just faith. It's repentance and faith. So if you just think you can get in because you repented and you have not believed in Jesus who took your place on the cross. Because the price has to be paid, and He paid the price for you. The wages of sin is death. If you had to pay the price, you have to die. Not just physically, all of us will die, but spiritually. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Eternal life does not mean you live forever. We will live forever. But eternal life is to know God. Jesus Himself said it. Is to know God and Jesus Christ. That is eternal life. So I hope I made this clear to you. You know, Peter, when he, the first convert, Cornelius, he was the first convert who became a Christian in his own home. You can read it there in Acts chapter 11 and verses 15 to 18. He says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. I'm reading Acts 11, verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as He did upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how He used to say, John baptized with water. I hope you're following me, because it makes a difference, just not by listening, but by following in your Bible, so you know that I'm not making up things. And I remember the word of the Lord, how He used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That is what John said. The one who is coming after me, he will not only baptize you in water, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God gave to them the same gift as He gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what you miss. If only you repent and you don't believe in Jesus, you don't come to Him in faith to take away your sin. After believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also that repentance that leads to life. This is the repentance, the true repentance. Any other repentance where you think you've repented because you've smitten in your conscience the way you lived and you've been such a wicked person, is a dead repentance, is a dead work. You get moved in some meeting or whatever and you feel, no, I need to change, and you start doing all the right things. It's a dead work. And the Bible says we have to repent also of dead works. We read that there in Hebrews. So the blood of Jesus cleanses us not only from sins that we have committed, but cleanses us from dead works. So there are people who repent, like I showed you that. They come in with this half ticket. They repented, something's moved them, and they think they've repented. They go about trying to put things right. But they don't come to Jesus. They come to Him to get life. So they don't come to repentance that leads to life. And so here when Peter was relating his experience in Cornelius' home, he said, who am I to stand in God's way? And if God has poured out this Holy Spirit without me asking them to pray. They had repented, and the repentance they had was a repentance that leads to life. And that's why James, who was the head of the church in Jerusalem, says, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. That's how the door of the gospel of the grace of God entered. Not with all these false preachers today. These people were not asked to receive and accept. They repented on the day of Pentecost. When they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. He didn't tell them to receive. He didn't tell them to believe. Repent and believe and confess your sin. And you will be saved. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. the promise, that's a gift. What is this repentance that leads to life? I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, read these words. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says to them, I now rejoice, listen to this, this is dealing with somebody who has sinned in the church. I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow, listen to this, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, that's leading to life, a godly sorrow. But the sorrow of the world produces death. And we have incidents where people have sinned, we have to discipline them, and we have always said, let God bear witness to your repentance. Yes, you're sorry, you put things right and whatever had to be done, but is it a dead work? Is it a dead work that you put things right, you confess your sin, and you're a good Roman Catholic, I would say. A good Roman, you go to the priest and confess all your sins, and you think, yeah, now I've repented, I'm a born-again Christian. A whole lot of, millions of them feel that they can come in. And that is the gospel they have believed. It's a false gospel, and millions will be shocked on that day. Not just Roman Catholics, Protestants also. And whatever else, whatever label you want to put on, whatever there is today in Christianity, whatever denomination. He says, not that you were made sorrowful, but you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. Paul was not happy that they were made sorrowful. And we have had to tell people who have sinned and backslided, and they come back. We rejoice, not that you are made sorrowful, but if you have a godly sorrow that you have made sorrowful, he says, is a point of repentance, which is a sorrow which is according to the will of God, so that you don't suffer loss in anything through us. The sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret. So whether the very first time you believe the gospel and you confessed your sin, you repented, or any day after that, doesn't mean now I can do what I like. I'm born again. No, to live in a continual repentance. The sorrow that is according to the will of God, so if you're backslidden, the sorrow that is according to the will of God, is there a sorrow in your heart? Remorse. Remorse is something different. Remorse, everyone will feel, because we have a conscience. The Hindu, the Muslim, every person will have a remorse. Even the murderer, the worst person, after he's done something wrong, because we have a conscience. We all have a conscience. So many people mistake remorse for repentance. They're two different things. And that's a dangerous thing. That's what I was saying. It's not just repentance towards God. It's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's coming back to the cross. If you're backslidden, whatever the sin is, you've fallen into adultery, you're watching pornography, not a remorse. You've done something, you feel, then you go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. And you use the blood of Jesus like tap water. You're on your way to destruction, my brothers and sisters. When we sin, if we are backslidden, whatever it is we have committed, we slip up many times and we sin. Pray and ask God for a godly sorrow a sorrow after the will of God that produces a repentance without regret, that you don't regret it, you go back and do the same thing again. You vomited at something, you go and eat up that vomit again. Peter speaks about such people. Better that they have not known the way of life. And I don't know if there are some like that in our midst. Better that you not know the way of life. Whichever church you get baptized in, whether you're getting baptized in CSC church, is not going to make you a better Christian. I want to say to you, you'll hear the truth here, you may get offended and go away. Or if you want to become live a godly life, you will stay and you'll see your life change and you'll see what it is to know God and Jesus Christ. Repentance without regret leading to salvation. That's the result. That's not a dead work. You get life like these people in Cornelius' house and thereafter. The gospel of the grace of God, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And also when, you know, we read in Acts in 11:22, there's in Barnabas, when there was many turned in Antioch to Christ, and Barnabas was sent by the church in Jerusalem to check out what happened in Antioch when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Whether it was a false grace or a true grace of God, the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas, just go down and see what happened there. There's some kind of revival going on there, but see what gospel have they believed. And when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God that led them to the repentance that leads to life, he rejoiced. And he began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. When he saw the true grace of God, he rejoiced. And when he went back, he gave a good report what happened in Antioch. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Genuine. Not these half-baked ones today. Thus, today's Christianity is a shame that has been brought on the name of the Lord. That's why I tell people I speak to, and I speak to non-Christian friends of mine, I say, don't look at the Christianity today. It's not the Christianity of the Bible. Look at Jesus. I'm speaking to you not about Christianity as a religion. I'm speaking to you about a person who changed my life. That's the way I give the gospel to my non-Christian friends. And I don't just make them believe, accept Jesus, receive Jesus, everything is going to be okay. You can clear your debts and all your problems will be solved. That's not the gospel. You know, John the Baptist told the Pharisees and Sadducees who came to him to be baptized, he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who warned you to flee from the wrath that's going to come, the wrath of God on all the ungodly? And you think by getting baptized you're going to escape that wrath of God?" And that's what I want to say to you. Those of you who have been baptized, who have been in this church many years, and those of you who are getting baptized, you're not hear this anywhere else, my brothers and sisters. Show me a church that speaks like this, that tells you. Are you getting baptized because you want to escape hell? Are you getting baptized because you want to belong to a church? You want to belong to this church? I say to you in Jesus' name, stop. You're getting baptized because you want to marry some born-again girl or boy here? Forget it. I want to save you from being sent into a Christless eternity. I'm afraid there are many who have come in this way are on their way to a Christless eternity. So better you hear the truth now than you wake up with a shock, like I told you with what I showed you. Simon the magician, you know, in Acts chapter 8, you like to turn there, 9 to 24, and he believed and he got baptized. Also, here's an example. Here the Pharisees were coming to get baptized to escape the wrath of God. John could tell them boldly, without not mincing words, "You come here to escape hell, to escape God's wrath." He refused to baptize them. And that is what I want to make sure in this church, that we don't baptize people who want to escape hell, who want to escape God's wrath. We don't baptize people who come with some intention, some agenda. They want to find some good boy, girl for their son or daughter. God forbid, my brothers and sisters, we degenerate into such a church. Here's an example. Simon the magician, he came to be known as the great power of God in this place, in Samaria. Acts 8, 9 to 20. Look at these verses in scripture. Acts 8, 9 to 24. We won't read the whole thing. But he says, you know, Simon believed and he got baptized. But what is it that drew him? He was amazed at the miracles. He was seeing the signs and miracles. He believed and was baptized. And after being baptized also, he continued on with Philip. He joined the crowd of those who got baptized. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. In verses 14 to 17, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, for the Holy Spirit, had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, who came down, and he prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Then they began laying their hands on them and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. You can see how important it is, not only that you repent of your sins and you're born again, but you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 and to 20, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter, oh, thank God for there can be brothers like that, elders in our church. Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." He was a lover of money. Peter saw through it, like they saw through Ananias and Sapphira. Fakes, counterfeits, lover of money. Peter said, "Let your money perish with you." Not just that, he says, "I see that your heart is not right with God. Your heart is not right with God. Get rid of it." He tells him there, "You have no part in this matter, because your heart is not right with God." Why? Besides being a lover of money, you are in the gall of bitterness. You are in the bondage of iniquity. And I want to say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, and those who have been baptized, if you got baptized and you had bitterness in your heart and you didn't repent of it and confess it, I want to tell you, you have not entered the kingdom of God. Peter had the boldness to tell Simon that. You're in the bondage of iniquity. You're in the gall of iniquity. Imagine that. What a condition. And the apostle saw through him that his heart was full of bitterness. The gall of bitterness. He was a lover of money. He thought he became rich and famous because, you know, just like today's preachers, they become rich and famous. They buy They can afford to buy a jet to travel here and there and boast about all the countries they go to. And many people, Christians, I'm surprised sometimes that all that goes on in today's Christianity. Believers sit with their mouths, you know, wide open. Oh, the man of God. That's how it was, Mary, a great, great man of God, a great power of God. But Peter saw through him that he was a lover of money. Peter saw, he says, you're in bondage, the gall of bitterness and bondage of iniquity. I want to say to you in Jesus' name, my brothers and sisters, those of you who have been baptized and you still have that bitterness in your heart, you are outside the kingdom of God and you're going to wake up with a shock in eternity when Jesus will say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I have to say this, my brothers and sisters, because I don't want your blood on my hands. If you have been baptized in this church and you have not repented of your bitterness, you will not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. And he was coming to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He saw that, he says, give me this power also so that whoever I lay hands on, they will receive the Holy Spirit. There I can do miracles and signs and wonders. That is going on. I've known ones who have been in this church were following somebody in Andhra Pradesh. I know his name also, Subbarao. I can boldly say, you know, where he is today, was laying hands on people and they were falling down. And that brother happened to come into the church. And even among with brothers, he was with Operation Mobilization, OM, as it's called. And sometimes when while praying, this is his testimony, the ones he prayed to, if he put his hands on them, they would fall down. And this man was going around, mainly known in Andhra Pradesh. And everybody thought he was a great power of God. Never carried a Bible, never spoke from the Bible. What he spoke, I don't know. He spoke about Jesus and whatever it is. False prophet. And we had to pray with this brother and bind that spirit and ask him to renounce it and come to Jesus in faith. Come and get life. These are things, my brothers and sisters, I've observed through the years. I've been a Christian for 56 years. I've been a follower of Jesus. Even I don't say that I'm a Christian. I've been a follower of Jesus. And this is what is happening. God uses the Holy Spirit to expose the fakes and the counterfeits. So if you've not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, check what has gone, what is wrong in your life. Possibly it's bitterness, grudges, resentment, anger that's kept you from receiving the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he will expose all that is wrong. So I'm going to stop there. I could go on and on, but we have some baptisms and speak another time about faith. I've spoken mainly about repentance, but I wish I would get another opportunity to talk to you about faith that brings you to life, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I think it's sufficient what I've said to you, because I'm concerned of a number of people who come for baptism and I don't know whether any of these things are true in their life. If you find that some of the things I said this morning, not to condemn you, my brother, sister, whoever you are, only to help you, to save you from destruction. to save you from discovering on that day that you were deceived. That's the only reason I shaved you what I've shaved. And I can say before God that what I heard 56 years ago, I thank God that I had repented toward God and I had faith in Jesus Christ. And I got baptized and I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I cannot tell you the wonderful things that God has done in my life. I'm not the same man I was 56 years ago. I'm not the same man I was 1 year ago. I was not the same man that I was last week. I say that. Wonderful to have the Holy Spirit in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in you. Really wonderful. You can't be the same man that you were yesterday. Certain things that you did and said yesterday, you were convicted and confessed and repented that you don't do them today. That's how wonderful my life has been. And it's been just not from faith to faith, but from glory to glory. That's the gospel of the glory of the grace of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, and we thank you that, Lord Jesus, you never speak to condemn us. Your words are always, I don't condemn you. Go and stop sinning. And please, Lord, save us from being deceived in these days when you said many will be deceived. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love the truth. And I pray for those who are being baptized today. Speak specially to them and to all of us, Lord, and the ones who will be baptized in the future, that from now they will really understand what the gospel of the grace of God is, and see the glory that can come into our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Some of you may have seen this picture, and some of you may be having in your homes the picture of Jesus holding a lamp and knocking at the door, and where it is snowing or raining, and you feel sorry for him, poor man, must open the door and let him in, let him occupy a corner of the house. You're doing a great favor, right, to Jesus. If that is the thing, if that is how you have received Jesus into your heart, or you think so, I want to say your conversion is not genuine. You need to be born again. Who do you think Jesus is? The poor man wanting some corner in your house, knocking at the door? It is you standing outside. It is not Jesus. You come to Jesus and knock on his door. And he said, whoever comes to me, I will not cast him out. We are not doing any great favor when we accept Jesus or believe in him. These are all unscriptural things. Some, it may be here and there, but you need to take the scriptures in its totality to be able to understand the mind of God. Of course, the Apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But you know in what condition that Philippian jailer was? He was on his knees trembling, asking, sir, what should I do? To that man who had already repented and trembling on his knees, he said, believe now on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. And if you come to Jesus just like that in meeting, they say, just accept him and believe on him. Everybody believes in Jesus. In the whole world, they believe that Jesus came and Jesus was a good man and he was a prophet and so on and so forth. Even unbelievers, even other religious people believe that. But you are called to follow the scriptures. The scriptures begins with repent and believe and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:37-38. On the day of Pentecost, when those 3,000 hardcore Jews heard the gospel and got convicted, they asked Peter, what should we do? And Peter said that, don't think that you can repent at any time. We read that verse in Acts 11. God granted the Gentiles or even the Jews repentance. God, if He grants you, you can repent. If He doesn't grant you, you cannot repent, even if you want to. You want a scripture for that? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. That let there be no immoral or godless person like Esau. Why is it called Esau was immoral? He didn't commit any adultery or anything. He just asked some food from his brother, and he bartered. He gave up his firstborn right to birthright to his brother Jacob. But it says he was an immoral man. What is immorality? After all, it is gratification of your desire, bodily desire. Immorality is the same, and even having a meal by bartering your birthright for a bowl of porridge or whatever it is, that is also equal to immorality in a sense. And he sold his own birthright for a single meal, for you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. Even though he sought it with tears. Some people think I will repent at the 11th hour or when I am on my sick bed or in the hospital. Brother, you don't know whether you will go out safely outside this door. None of us knows. And we glory in the fact, enjoy your life as long as you can. And then people used to make fun of me when I was in college. What you're thinking about God now, when everybody thinks about God after retirement, they used to make fun of me. Thank God I could develop some spiritual muscles those days through all this. I think it was A.W. Tozer who said, no one can remain the same after he meets with Jesus. If your life has not changed after you claim to have met with Jesus, then you need to meet with Him properly. You need to be born again properly. Nicodemus was a righteous man, one of the 70 elders in the group of Sanhedrin, that was the Supreme Court in Israel. And he came to Jesus. You know that, you read about it in John 3. Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Jesus never beat around the bush. He went straight to his heart and said, he saw his heart and said, you need to be born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, being a scholar, he didn't understand what Jesus was telling. Jesus told, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You need to be born of the Holy Spirit and of water, baptism in the Spirit and baptism in water. If that has not happened to you, my dear brother and sister, wherever, whichever church you come from, or even if you are born and brought up here in CFC, young people especially, if you are born and brought up here in CFC, don't think you are a Christian. I told you about that last week or earlier also. Don't you ever think that you are a Christian by being born in a Christian family. I thought I was. you have to be born in Christ's family. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become children of God, it says. You need to be born again in Christ's family, in God's family, by the operation of the Word of God and by the operation of the Holy Spirit, by true repentance and faith and baptism and obedience to God's Word. These things you won't hear in other churches. They will say, September is a new month, brother. This month will be a great month for you. God will wipe away all your tears. It will be a glorious month for you. 2023, January, this year is going to be glorious. You'll be prosperous. You'll have a new car. You'll have a new house. You'll have this, that, and all that rubbish. You want to hear to the, such gospel? Go to the Bible if you want to know the mind of God. The Apostle Paul told very clearly in 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2 Timothy 3:1. He said, in the last days, in latter days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of money, and many will fall away from the faith, it says. This is scripture. This is what my Bible says. My Bible doesn't say in the last days you will have prosperity, good health and wealth and new cars and new houses, all your loans will be cleared. All such rubbish. You want to hear? There are plenty of churches, brothers and sisters. Please go there. Don't waste your time here. And we are going to have baptism today, and